LVRocks.com. Listen to The Wise Guy Show on the web from noon to 2 at LVRocks.com.
The following is a live LV Rocks original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room. Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
To another edition of Subject to Discussion Live at LVRocks.com. I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want, just do not call me late for dinner. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion. Heard live at LVRocks.com as well as podcasted on LVRocks. Thank you everybody very much for listening to the program live, everybody listening to the program in the chat room, and everybody listening to the podcast. Thank you very much. BSG fan PT is in there. Chris, 101940, myself, and the John. So he's in there. I went to the John before I got here, so I'm all right now. And as a damn train stopped, I was sitting in front of the train for 10 minutes just down the road here in the garden spot of Las Vegas. So, and that's the producer of the program, Mr. Consular. Thank you very much. And the subject2discussion.com is the website. Email subject2discussion@lvrocks.com. Thank you very much. And after the news and comment part of the program, I'll be joined by Jamie, a.k.a. Scully Girl, for a Stargate review. And I also have the ratings from Stargate, and a little disappointing Stargate in the ratings. And also news that after September, apparently the both of the shows are going to take a six-month hiatus. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then they're going to come back. I don't know what FI's doing, but you think you want the programs that go on for the 20 weeks. That way you build the audience and not, you know, basically screw them by giving a few episodes and then, you know, taking, you know, was it 6 months off or whatever it is, I mean, come back. I mean, that's how you're losing audience, you know. And what else? After her would be Koenig Rules with a review of the 4400, as well as some Battlestar Galactica news, as well as some Doctor Who news, and anything else he's got to talk about, we'll bring him on. And those of you who are, I got like six emails saying, "Oh, this first hour is taped," but no, it's live. Merry Christmas to everybody, but no, it's live. And If you want, I go through the news hour. If you want, you can call in and comment on the news for a moment or so. It's 702-383-8120 if you want to call in and we can talk about what's going on in the news. And I want to read about this first off the bat, the in Indiana shooting spree that's been going on there on the highway where, you know, this jackass has been shooting everybody in Indiana. Apparently they arrested a teenager, a 17-year-old, is being held as a suspect in a series of highway shootings in Indiana. And what's his name? The shootings killed one man, wounded another, and damaged at least four vehicles. It's reminiscent of that shooting spree that went on a few years ago on the East Coast. And was it New York, I believe it was, New York State? And his name is Zachariah Blanton, was arrested earlier on today, Tuesday, and was jailed in Jackson County. He's from Seymour, Indiana. He faced preliminary charges of murder, attempted murder, and criminal recklessness, according to the prosecutor. So the motive is unclear, they say. Let me see. Blanton came to the attention of investigators late Monday after an acquaintance told a Delaware County, Indiana deputy that the teen might be involved in the shootings. The detectives then searched Blanton's home and found a rifle of the same caliber used in the shootings. And what else is going on? I talked to his great aunt told the newspaper of Muncie, Indiana, that she was shocked by the allegations against him. And she says, "I can't imagine he'd be involved in something like that." So that's the breaking news. Apparently the shooting spree in Indiana is over with. So, and also today in the Las Vegas Review Journal, they talk about the We had a shooting Monday here. A patient shoots doctor and kills himself. A 74-year-old gunman carried suicide notes complaining of bad physicians. A 74-year-old man shot his doctor Monday afternoon in the Mountain View Hospital medical office building, and then on this newspaper, they don't use proper punctuation, what the hell, and then killed himself, police said. In the gunman's pockets were two suicide notes complaining about bad doctors in Nevada, the police said. Police Lieutenant Lou Roberts said. The doctor who was wounded is Avi Abraham Ostrowski, said the hospital administrator. So, and then also they talk about the war going on in the Mideast with Israel and Hezbollah and all that. And Condoleezza Rice is over there. I said on some of the message boards, yeah, she's over there holding the hands of the Lebanon's leaders and, you know, saying how she feels sorry for them and blah, blah, blah. While on the other side, we're speeding up resupplying Israel with weapons and artillery. You know, I think that doesn't make any sense at all. And we should stop resupplying them and then go over there. We'd have a stand. I think we stand on a higher moral ground. Even Pat Buchanan said that this afternoon as well. So I'm on the same side as Pat Buchanan in this. Also, to talk about the power, there's some problems with the power in California. And for the second day, and it said today here in Las Vegas, the power spokesman said power supply has been steady out here in Vegas. Says despite outages in other cities, Las Vegas seems secure, which is nice to know. It's 104 degrees. Yesterday is 116. It gets down to a nice and cool 92 degrees here at night. You know what I'm saying? And the National Weather Service reported the Las Vegas temperature hit 112 Monday afternoon. Peak power demand at Nevada Power Company failed to break a record set a week ago. So, I mean, it's going crazy. 5,000 for the Monday, the megawatts was 5,481 megawatts. That's a lot of power. And in the Nevada section, we have a political season here, and we have this candidate. His name is Jerry Arola. And on his ads, he's running these commercials. You know, he's, you know, the greatest thing since sliced cheese, and, you know, blah, 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 elect me, and I run a helicopter company and all this stuff. And it turns out he says he's a cop, but in fact he's not a cop. Says Clark County Sheriff candidate Jerry Arola in his campaign advertising is saying he is a cop, but he has not been employed as a cop for the last 10 months. So there you go right there. You know, is that kind of scruples? You want him as your sheriff? I don't think so. But he apparently was trying to get a deputy's job in Merced, California, while I was living in Nevada. So it doesn't make any sense. And also, I talk about the Bob Stupak, who is a candidate for lieutenant governor out here. Bob Stupak owned the Vegas World Hotel, which turned into the Stratosphere Hotel. And anyway, he's running for lieutenant governor. He ran some big soiree over at the Stardust with free food and everything. I wish I would have known that. I would have been over there. So he was in a horrible car accident with his son a few years back. He was riding a motorcycle with his son, and a car pulled out in front of him, and they plowed into the car with the motorcycle. I believe he went through the windshield. He was in a coma for, I think, 3-4 months, and he had to go through plastic surgery and all kinds of things. But he's back, and, of course, he's filthy rich. So, and what else? And in the USA Today, they talk about the war in Israel and between Israel and Lebanon, and about the heat wave straining the California's power grid, and how U.S. aid is following Rice's visit to the Mideast. Most fault Hezbollah, but fear U.S. would be pulled into this war. And what else? In Mississippi, it says Katrina recovery gaining steam. And also, I had a story I read somewhere that Brad Pitt apparently is putting up $100,000 for an environmentally friendly construction of an apartment building or something like that. And in the life section, they talk about the Emmy telecast this year is going to honor Dick Clark. So we know Dick Clark is, he had a stroke, and he looked like he was still kind of in failing health when he was on the New Year's Eve Rockin' Eve. And what else? Raimi is going to draw a Sword series, a Sword of Truth adventure series. Sam Raimi and his producing partner Joshua Donen have optioned the film rights to the Sword of Truth. The Sword of Truth series began in 1994 with Wizard's First Rule. The 11th and final volume is due in 2008. So, and of course, I have the talk about this with Koenig and with Scully Girl when she comes on. But we do have the TV guide with Battlestar Galactica on the cover. I got Starbuck, and then I also have this ugly-looking guy here, Lee Adama, on there as well. So I talk about not really too many big spoilers on here, But they do talk about some interesting things there for sale from the Star Trek. I could buy Janeway's chair, Captain Janeway's chair from Voyager for between $6,000 and $8,000. That'd be a kind of nice chair to have in your living room. And the phasers from Nemesis, of course, it was the last one, and between $800 and $1,200 for a phaser. And then Worf's sash she wore on First Contact, that metallic sash, between $200 and $300, but it's aluminum and leather. And apparently he says it's heavy, and it gave him back problems, this thing. And Deanna Troi's costumes are available. You can buy, a wedding dress between $600 and $800, and a mini dress from the 1987 pilot between $3,000 and $5,000. And then Picard's flute between $300 and $500. So a lot of stuff up for sale there. So with that, we'll move on to news to you. And today we had from Ken Jennings, of course, the big winner of the Jeopardy business last year or 2 years ago, wherever it was. Jeopardy champion Ken Jennings blasts show. This is from today. Jeopardy ace Ken Jennings, who won $2.5 million during a 74-game winning streak, has a few unkind words to say about the show and dapper host Alex Trebek. I know, the old folks love him, he said. He writes in a recent posting. He's got a website titled Dear Jeopardy. Now he knows he died in a fiery truck crash a few years back and was immediately replaced with the Trepictron 4000. And get the mustache right, by the way, blah, blah, blah. He's taking a name at the show's FET, Left Coast categories, and same old format. Apparently now he's saying he was kidding and everything else. He says, you're like the Dorian Gray of syndication. You seem to think change means replacing a blue backdrop with a different shade of blue backdrop every presidential election or so. So blah, blah, blah. And there it is. Wow. Thank you, Johnny Gilbert. The final Jeopardy question is for $5,000. There we go. What new show will be preparing in LV Rocks this weekend? That's the question. That's the question. No, it's the answer. Excuse me. You got to reform whatever the hell it is. And got to put what the hell? How does he do that show? Mr. Centurion, how does he do that show? Do you know? I don't know. Your answer's got to be a form of a question. And also this website here, Tuesday, this is from Tel Aviv, Israel. So they're not just all busy bombing Hezbollah. They're also talking about the website reveals your inner celebrity twin. According to MyHeritage.com, everyone is a little celebrity, has a little celebrity inside, largely meant for charting family trees and as a genealogical community. The website also boasts an addictive face recognition technology that blurs the boundary between the great unwashed and the thoroughly groomed. To find out which celebrity you most resemble, download a photo of yourself and you'll quickly receive a list of stars with similar facial features. The results, which can include men and women, are often surprising. In one trial, a white, goateed, middle-aged man came up as most resembling the young black comedian Chris Tucker. And onlookers exclaim, you know, I can see that. I don't know. The Israel-based site uses images of faces and algorithms to compare faces from a database of 3,200 celebrities. 10 ranked results are provided, which can be quite disparate. So, whatever. And also from today, from South Plainfield, New Jersey, and the police called to home find a human hand in there. I wonder if this is the human hand that Mae Young gave birth to in the WWE a few years back. I don't know. Those of you who don't know, on WWE Raw, they had this old wrestler named Johnny Mae Young, and she was sleeping around with this young African-American wrestler named Mark Henry, and they had this whole storyline for a while that she got pregnant, and she was pregnant, blah, blah, blah. She's 80-something years old, and she went into labor, and they pulled out this hand, which is, I don't know what that was all about, but... Anyway, it says here from New Jersey, an exotic dancer who decorated her home with skulls and a severed hand was to be arraigned Wednesday for improper disposition of human remains, authorities said. Police responding to a report Friday of a suicidal person at the home of a 31-year-old Linda Kay discovered a large, crudely severed human hand and a mason jar of formaldehyde on the dresser of Kay's basement bedroom, according to the police report. While the subject of the initial phone call was not located in the home, Authorities found six skulls in an upstairs room. Cave is arrested and charged with Friday afternoon in the South Plainfield Municipal Court, where she faces arraignment at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. While human skulls may be purchased online, I didn't even know that, the origin of the hand is more troubling. The police report states it was severed roughly, not surgically, with bone fragments in the jar. So maybe she was making some soup or something. Who knows, you know? What was the URL to that? Scully Girls asked. The URL was myheritage.com. myheritage.com. So, and it's also from today from Daytona Beach, Florida. Woman run over by own vehicle on beach. Obviously, she didn't put the thing in park, I guess. An Ormond Beach woman was accidentally run over by her own vehicle after she and her husband got it stuck in the sand on Daytona Beach shores on Monday. She was standing behind it trying to help move it, and her husband apparently ran over her while rocking it back and forth. Oh, that's the accident. Oopsie. You probably want to get rid of her. She was pinned underneath the vehicle until emergency crews could get to her. The woman has been taken to Halifax Medical Center in Daytona Beach and is in serious condition. So our thoughts go out to that lady. And also from today in Boston, a woman killed at same spot brother was slain. This is like that story from where it was a few weeks ago in Timbuktu, where it was that the father and his son were killed at a train at the same spot. A Boston woman became the city's 43rd homicide victim this year when she was gunned down at the same spot her brother was slain 4 years ago. A Mission Hill, Massachusetts family is reliving an unimaginable tragedy as a result. No kidding. Police said the woman, identified as Annalicia Perry, was lighting candles at a makeshift shrine to her brother, Robert Perry, when she was gunned down. So, terrible. That would be horrible for the family. Not only does the brother get killed in this spot, and her sister ends up getting killed in the same spot. Terrible. And also from today, we had this from Greenfield, Massachusetts. Massachusetts cemetery graves sliding down the hill. So I guess they're in a hurry to get out of there. The eternal slumbers of about 50 people, including a former Massachusetts governor, about to be interrupted either by nature or by man. Directors of the Green River Cemetery are rushing against gravity in an attempt to exhume and rebury the remains before they slide down a steep slope into the cemetery's namesake. But the tranquility was shattered. Tranquility in the cemetery was shattered in March when the strong storms knocked down trees and washed away several yards of soil on the cemetery's north side. With more rain came more erosion, blah, 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 and until the ground retreated up to about a foot away from one grave. About 50 other graves, most dating to the 1800s, are now just feet away from the steep precipice and a 200-foot slide down toward the Green River. Under state law, exhuming a body requires a copy of the death certificate and approval from the family of the deceased. But if there are no objections, registered with the county, with the court, by July 31st, the bodies will be able to be reburied. The 40-foot stone that towers over the grave of William Washburn, a Republican governor from 1872 to 1874, now lies on its side on the ground. Dozens of headstones for more Washburns and members of other families lost in the 19th century to ailments like fever and ulcers are lined up nearby. So horrible, horrible. Hope they get them people out of there. You know, rebury them. Get them the hell out before they get in that river. I'd have to be swimming down that river, you know, with your family, also see a little casket go floating by. I don't know. From today, from Rome, Italy, it says, "Okay, Adam, you cannot plan the wedding." A young man's plan to propose to his girlfriend on a small charter plane almost ended in disaster when the plane crashed and the engagement ring was lost in the wreckage. I wonder if he's related to the Kennedys. Adam Sutton, 19, told Erica Brucey, 18, that they were going on a date to the movies, but instead took her to the airport in Rome. For a charter flight on Friday. The plan was for family members to hold up a large sign. Uh-oh. And the plan was for the family to hold up a large sign with the words from the ground pointing up to the sky. It says, "Will you marry me?" on it. But Bruce Lee only saw the word "marry" because part of the sign was obscured before the plane flying slowly at low altitude stalled and crashed. And it crashed on the tarmac at Rome's airport. The couple was not seriously hurt. Bruce Lee finally said yes to the proposal in the ambulance. But she was not able to get the ring. Only the ring's box could be found after the crash. The plane's pilot was knocked unconscious by the crash, and Simon had to be pulled from the plane. So that's going to be a story to remember to tell their kids and their grandchildren, huh? Oh, you almost died because your grandfather, the plane almost crashed. So, and also from today, dog cooking and tree taking school burner may lose his job. This is from Beijing, China. A Chinese headmaster. I have a poodle, medium rare, please. Light on the Tabasco sauce. I don't know. A Chinese headmaster tried to buy off colleagues by cooking dog meat for them after secretly selling off trees around the school, ended up setting fire to classrooms when the meat burst into flames. Oh, no. That's like a hot dog, I guess. That's what they call a hot dog, I guess. I don't know. 10 classrooms containing televisions, computers, printers, and textbooks burned down, leaving nearly 100 children unable to go to school, the Beijing Youth Daily said. The headmaster in the northwestern province of blah, blah, sold off a 1,000-tree arboretum surrounding the school on the slide, the newspaper said. How can 1,000 trees disappear and nobody knows where they're going? I don't know. In order to get the teachers not to tell anyone what he had done, the headmaster got friends to obtain 2 dogs, which they proceeded to kill on the school grounds. That's nice. He then told the teachers that they would have dog meat to eat that afternoon, but the plan went awry when the dog being cooked burst into flames and set fire to the school's main office and then the classrooms. The local education bureau fined the headmaster $1,252 and suggested he be fired. No kidding. So, and we go from one dog to another one. This is from Tuesday from New York. 3 cops shot while blasting pit bull. 3 police officers were accidentally shot as one or more officers took aim at a pit bull attacking a member of their crew. All were in stable condition. 3 officers suffered minor graze wounds, and a 4th was bitten. Was he bitten by the dog or one of the cops? The men had been responding to a dispute between a landlord and a tenant in a Bronx building when the animal ran from another floor and attacked one of the officers. There he is. The dog was killed by the gunfire, and the 4 remained hospitalized in Lincoln Medical Center following the shooting. So, my question is, poor thing. My question is, if you have a dog like that, wouldn't it make good to get that dog and use it for, for a police dog or something? I don't know. That's my thing. Can't they use that dog for send it to Iraq or something? I don't know. This is also from Tuesday from Orland Park, Illinois, where I went to high school. Orland Park named 45th best place to live in the USA. Anyone looking for a new place to live might want to consider Orland Park, Illinois. The village, with a population of 53,000, was ranked 45th in a list of the top 100 best places to live in the United States in the July issue of Money Magazine. So that's old town there. They just had a news, they had a company out there called Andrew Corporation who makes satellite dishes and everything else. Anyway, that company's been there for years. They're kind of responsible for the growth of that town. And they announced that they're selling the company, named the Andrew family, selling the company to another company up in Minnesota. So anytime you see a satellite dish with a little red flash on it, it's Andrew Corporation that made those satellite dishes. And also today from Ashland, Ohio, an Amish family in critical condition after a buggy accident. A woman drove her minivan into the back of a horse-driven buggy, injuring 5 members of an Amish family, 3 critically, authorities said. Levi and Delilah Schwarzentruber and their 5 children were thrown from the buggy in Sunday's accident. No charges have been filed, but the crash remains under investigation. Delilah Schwarzentruber, 31, and her 2 daughters, 8-year-old Elizabeth and 2-year-old Sarah, were in critical condition at the Metro Health Center in Cleveland. Henry Schwarzentruber, 6, and his sister Katie, 5, were listed in fair condition. But, with the horse, most importantly, the horse was uninjured. So that's always good news. The horse. Keep the horse around. And then they had that story today about that damn jockey headbutting his horse. I showed that over and over on Countdown. I don't know what that was all about. They showed him he was headbutting his horse. You see that? I don't know. It was crazy. I mean, it was Mr. Ed. Wilbur. This is also from today from Canton, Ohio. A woman accused of charging fairgoers extra at the gate. A Canton, Ohio woman is charged of helping steal money from a county fair. What a nice lady this one is. The Carroll County Sheriff's Department said Sheila Fenton and her son took off with more than $2,300. The investigator said the pair overcharged fairgoers at the entrance gate. Nice, nice, nice example for her son to follow. Nice. Also from today, from here in Las Vegas, a swinging convention. Sex is on everyone's mind. Vera Rhodes has come a long way from her conservative upbringing in Pennsylvania, in her Amish story, upbringing in Pennsylvania's Amish community. There, she was a virgin until she married at age 30. Now, she is an enthusiastic 54-year-old member of the million-strong swinging community who speaks openly of her encounters with multiple sexual partners. last night was really special, she said, who is divorced now and makes it look, well, she goes from an Amish to a swinger to now she's a divorcee. Anyway, who is divorced and making a living giving massages in the Midwest, in the Midwestern state of Iowa. There was a couple from Mexico, a couple from Virginia, and a couple from Ireland, and a couple from Australia. She said, I'd like to participate in life as much as possible. She was among the, some 3,000 people gathered on Saturday at the Stardust Hotel in Las Vegas for the annual Lifestyles Conference, a five-day, $700 per couple event that offers a mix of seminars, socializing, and sex. Unbelievable. Early on Saturday, Rhodes is back for more, joining...
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
This is ridiculous.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
I guess this is the way for the Stardust to go out in style, because they just, you know, they're shutting that place down. I guess, I don't know. They're going to implode it. Early on Saturday, Rhodes was back for more, joining the action in a suite where more than a dozen couples were having sex. This must be some huge suite in that hotel. I didn't think they had a suite that big over there. How'd you like to be the poor housekeeper having to clean up that mess? No, thanks. The Las Vegas event, there we go. And the Las Vegas event is the largest annual U.S. swinging event, they said. So, yeah, good for them, I guess. And also today from Pelham, New York, feline felon suspected in glove thefts. Uh-oh. A pink and white gardening glove was missing Thursday morning from Janine Gosch's front porch. But there's absolutely no mystery about who had taken it. Willie the cat, who loves gloves, had struck again. It has to be him, she said, an attorney. I've heard about him. As if the gardeners of Pelham didn't have enough to worry about the rocky with the rocky soil and the slugs and the big trees, blah, 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 casting too much shade. A feline felon has been sneaking into their backyards and carrying off gardening gloves. Blah, blah, blah. And what else? Apparently, the cat's name is Willie, and Willie's home, she shares with a dog named Peanut Chew. And above and in her yard is a sign that says, our cat is a glove snatcher. Please take these if they are yours. Apparently, they put them up on a clothesline with all these gloves. And I've had a sign there telling people if they're yours to come take them. So apparently the cat is stealing them. And when it's snowing out, the Willie switches to his off-season prey, dirty socks, which he brings from the laundry room. So what a criminal that cat is, you know. So maybe they'll take it and shoot it. No, I don't know. Monday from Greenwood, Indiana. Police say teens took mail from home mailboxes. It's another thing with this mail. Last week we had story with that mail carrier keeping mail in their house, was in Germany, I think it was. Greenwood, Indiana. Two teens are accused of stealing personal checks and other sensitive information out of the mailboxes of homes in Greenwood, Indiana. Two 17-year-old boys faced multiple charges of theft and possibly federal charges after police said they found a pile of stolen mail in a car. The boys, who were caught shortly after taking the mail, a homeowner called the police and said he noticed the boys looking into mailboxes. Outgoing mail from at least 15 people full of personal information and checks was stolen. Investigators have said some of the stolen mail involved checks for thousands of dollars and could have been easily used for quick cash or identity theft. United States Postal Inspectors might pursue federal charges. They should go after these kids, you know. They might pursue federal charges against the teens. Police are holding the mail as evidence, and investigators are contacting the rightful owners. They should go after these kids and throw them, the damn kids, in jail. You know, the brats. You know, if the parents can't, take care of the kids, throw the damn brats in jail for a while and see if that wakes them up, you know. That's what I do. You know, it's ridiculous. That's federal crime right there, stealing postal mail. It's a federal offense. You know, they should be blasted by the police, you know. Anyway, also from today, from Katy, Texas. Two stabbed inside Denny's restaurant. I guess they didn't like the tutti frutti, fresh and fruity, I guess. Two men were stabbed inside a Denny's restaurant over the weekend. Harris County Sheriff's deputies said a group of men got into a fight in the restaurant. The men were taken to Memorial Herman Katy Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. So I'd be sitting there having breakfast and all of a sudden see the guys whipping out a knife and start stabbing each other. No, thanks. In Austin, Texas, from Club Le Bear, is too revealing. Bryce hits the stage with a cartwheel and a flip, then starts dancing to the pulsing grooves of the music. Dressed in a baseball uniform, his band gloves are first to come off. This must be from one of my relatives. I'm not reading this whole thing. It comes off the shirt, blah, blah, blah. Enticing. Apparently, it says cheeky fun or downright dirty. This guy is a dancer for a club called La Bear, which is a male review club. It's an illegal battle with the city of Austin over whether the club is a little too bearing and daring for operating so close to a public park and the Texas School for the Deaf. So, I don't know. La Bear dancers don't get naked, but Austin officials say that doesn't matter. I don't understand this. What if it was a women's review? I don't know if they may be making such a big deal out of this. I don't get this business here. The dispute has held up the state's liquor. This dispute has held up the club's state liquor license and threatens to shut down La Bear to girls' night out and bachelorette parties. So, I don't think what's the big deal with that. I mean, I don't know. They get the license. What are you going to do? They should have not given the license when they went before the business commission. I mean, same thing here in Las Vegas. You know, they're all railing about these clubs. Well, who the hell licensed them to begin with? You guys did. Now you're railing against because some people complain that they're in, you know, supposedly in the neighborhoods. I don't know. Also from this is from Monday from Idaho, American Falls, Idaho. Little Blackbeard earns first in regatta. In its second year as a kinetic challenge, the What Floats Your Boat regattas might appeal to the swinging convention. Regatta hosted five boats this year in the American Falls Chamber of Commerce-sponsored event held Saturday. Taking first place overall was Little Blackbeard, sponsored by the Stardust Restaurant and Lounge. Well, that's related to the Stardust Hotel and Casino. I don't know, probably not. Second place went to Wells Fargo Bank. And the third was awarded to the Flintstone Mobile Yabba Dabba Doo, constructed by General Mills of Blackfoot. Two other boats in the competition were the Phoenix, constructed by General Mills of American Falls, and the Patriot Bucket, constructed by Ken's Food Market and Troop 118. Also from Monday, from Juneau, Alaska, trees stolen. What are these people stealing trees? And 75 small dogwood trees were stolen from the Nancy Street Wetlands Restoration and Wildlife Enhancement Project. The foot-tall redwood red twig dogwoods were worth $700. The missing trees were being used for erosion control were taken from alongside a pond. So the same thing with the cemetery. The graves are falling through because of erosion. There you go. And it's from Monday from Charleston, South Carolina, a death on South Carolina Beach. About 150 loggerhead sea turtle hatchings at Foley Beach are thought to have died from erosion and lights left on at night. I don't know how lights can kill turtles. I don't know. The deaths renew calls for reminders of a rule banning lights along the beach from dusk till dawn between May and October when turtles hatch. So I still don't understand why the lights are killing the turtles. That's mind-boggling. Unless the lights do something to the egg, inside the egg. Who knows? Also from Las Vegas on Monday, car races downtown. The city of Las Vegas approved a five-year deal to host a Champ Car World Series race on streets around the downtown casinos. The Las Vegas Grand Prix is set for April 2007. Speeds are said to exceed 160 miles an hour. If you've ever been downtown, I don't see there's no way in this world those cars would go 160 miles an hour around those streets, unless they really revamp them. I don't know, those streets are a mess. Also from Monday, from Calais, Maine, illegals are being stopped. It's not illegal immigrants, though. This is illegal fish. U.S. fisheries agents...
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
U.S. fishery agents have stopped every truck. Now, we could do this for catching illegal fish. How come we can't do it with the illegal immigrants? I don't know.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
There you go. Illegal fish. U.S. Fisheries Agent has stopped every truck carrying seafood into the USA through the border crossing there in a crackdown on imports of illegal lobsters and other seafood. Officials said that nearly half of the trucks stopped in the first 3 days of the crackdown had undersized and egg-bearing lobsters. Ugh, and undersized haddock. So there you go. So there's.
Oh my gosh. Does that suck?
Absolutely. We are ruthless on those damn illegal lobsters and those damn illegal haddocks. How dare they come in the country?
Could we get rid of all
the
Mexicans?
Right. Crack down. We're cracking down on those illegal lobsters. Also from Monday from Alabama, from Dothan, Crenshaw still is a apparently busted a moonshine still on Monday. A still bust in Crenshaw County has nabbed at least 150 gallons of illegal alcohol. Police caught the man behind what investigators could have been a major moonshine distribution.
Alcohol is bad.
You know. Pike County Sheriff's deputies say they're serious about stopping the sale and distribution of illegal alcohol. They said they plan on bringing down all moonshine manufacturers.
Could we get rid of all
and distributors in the area? Whatever includes the Dukes, you know. Our agency has received some threats. Uh-oh. Ready for that one. And basically, we need to back. Our agency has received some threats. Basically, that we need to back off, and we don't need to be in certain communities. So now we take that very seriously. Blah blah blah. So people obviously are very protective of the moonshine business in Alabama. This Crenshaw County is still the latest. Is still the latest bust. Police arrested 29-year-old Jackson Quinn Renfro. He was caught by Pikes County Sheriff deputies during a traffic stop. This bust is the second in 2 weeks, so amazing. Both stills actually belong to Renfro, so he's got quite a little operation going on there. That guy, he had both of those stills they busted, so wow. Who knew that was still going on? I thought it was just from the old movies and, the Clampets and all that. And also from Monday, from Butler Township, Ohio, possible serial tree chopper sought. Terrible. They put this guy to death, you know? String him up in the chair, no. Police in Butler Township are trying to find out what happened to about 40 acres of trees of Old Springfield Road. Police said there is a lot involved in the case and will take a couple weeks to get all the information sorted out.
You are one pathetic loser.
Investigators said it appears that someone cut down up to 200 trees without the owner's permission. Again, how could people do this without nobody seeing it or seeing these trees disappear? I have no idea. People are just clueless or what? I don't know. Police are looking into the possibility that a lumber company contracted to cut down some trees may have something to do with the cut trees. So, terrible. And also from Sunday, from Las Vegas, passengers and crew on Las Vegas flight quarantine. I didn't read this anywhere. A section of the Las Vegas airport was closed for several hours after a flight arrived from Denver with 11 sick people on board. Passengers and crews on the United Airlines flight 1491 were quarantined for several hours on Saturday night at the McCarran Airport while the plane, passengers, and luggage were checked by hazardous materials experts. Four of the victims were flight attendants. They say the cause was still being investigated. A passenger said that investigators believe that the victims reacted to a cleaning fluid containing ammonia that had been used on the plane after it arrived in Denver from Cancun, Mexico. So that's what a passenger told the news.
Could we get rid of all the Mexicans?
They're rid of all of our problems. Yeah, nuke them. No. Sunday from St. Petersburg, Florida. This is a horrible one from Florida. Child raped in full daylight near park. Horrible. A man grabbed a Florida child and raped her in full daylight. Disgusting pig, huh? The man who St. Petersburg police said raped the 8-year-old remains on the loose. The victim was leaving a park at about 12:55 in the afternoon with her 7-year-old brother when the man grabbed her from behind, pulled her to the ground, and raped her. Good grief. Their mother had left them alone for a few minutes to return home and turn off the kitchen stove. They were less than half a block from the family's apartment.
You are a bitch!
She shouldn't have left her 7 8-year-old kids alone in the park. That's terrible. Horrible. Imagine the guilt this woman's going to have now, knowing that her leaving her kids alone probably led to this. A man playing basketball nearby said he heard the screams and ran to the scene. A motorist who witnessed it began honking her horn and called for help. The perpetrator then got up and ran away.
You are one pathetic loser.
Imagine the scars, not only that, on the girl, but the brother who was standing there, you know, probably watching that or something. Terrible.
It's time to abort your whole friggin' species.
Absolutely. And also Monday from San Antonio, Texas, animals killed, maimed in New Braunfels Animal Shelter. Vandals broke into the New Braunfels Humane Society Animal Shelter over the weekend and killed and maimed animals and caused, and caused significant damage to the building. Vandals also poisoned 5,000 pounds of food supply and destroyed 1,200 pounds of litter, shelter officials said. This is terrible. It's so hard, says the shelter's director in an interview. She said that someone broke into the facility between late Saturday and early Sunday morning. An estimate of how many animals were killed or injured was not available. No arrests have been made. I wish they do arrest them and lock them up. I mean, it's terrible doing this. And then an idiot a few weeks ago that killed the dog by smashing him over the fence post. I mean, ew. Bad. And Monday from the Wall Street Journal, states boost speed limits on major highways. The gasoline price is approaching an average of $3 a gallon, and the Middle East strife escalating. It might seem like a bad time to encourage drivers to burn even more fuel. But speed limits on stretches of freeways around the country are rising, just in time for summer road trips. Near Detroit, drivers long confronted by signs telling them to do no more than 55 or 65 miles an hour, now seeing signs with 70 mile per hour speed limits. By November, cruising at 70 miles per hour will be allowed on nearly 200 miles of road, including parts of Interstate 75. And M-59, a major suburban route. Texas has begun erecting 80-mile-per-hour signs along 521 miles of I-10 and I-20 in 10 rural western counties, giving them the highest speed limit in the USA. In September, Virginia is likely to boost the speed limit on I-85 near the North Carolina border to 70 miles an hour from 65 miles an hour. This is ridiculous, you know? We got to lower the speed limit back down to 55, I think. Driving faster may get people to their destination more quickly, blah, blah, blah. But it also can add to the rising cost of owning a car. The DOE estimates that every 5 miles per hour a person drives above 60 miles per hour costs an extra 20 cents a gallon for a fuel efficiency loss of 7 to 23%, depending on the type of car and gas. That's because at higher speeds increases aerodynamic drag on a car, requiring more horsepower. Over a year, it costs roughly an additional $180 in gas to drive 75 miles an hour instead of 60. So that's all you need right there. I should just use that and lower the speed limit across the country back down to 55. Help save some gas. Sunday from Poteet, New Mexico, Poteet residents react to mayor's child sex charges. Poteet Mayor Lino Donato was released from the county jail after posting a $70,000 bond following his arrest Tuesday on charges of indecency with a child. I think he's just trying to get some more voters, I think, huh?
You sick son of a bitch! You demented, twisted bastard, ragged hell of God! You son of a bitch, you bastard!
Donato, 56 years old, refused to speak to reporters about the allegations against him that involved two underage girls. According to an affidavit, Donato is accused of exposing himself to two female relatives under the age of 17 years old.
You are a meathead.
Absolutely. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And also Sunday from Carver, Massachusetts, EEE detected in mosquitoes in the Bay State. Equine encephalitis virus has been detected for the first time this year in mosquitoes in Carver. The mosquito sample was collected on Monday. The virus was detected in a species of mosquitoes called Culicetta melanura, which officials said prefers to bite birds and not usually humans, or horses. You're not going to get rid of the mosquitoes, so put on a little bug spray and go outside, they say. You try and stay outside, stay out of the shade, stay in the sun and put on some sunscreen. It's not going to keep us inside. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, these damn bugs, you know, they spray them. In Florida, I know they spray at night and try and kill all the bugs. So, and also from Sunday, from Madison, Wisconsin, a man who kept dead mom in freezer avoids federal prison. A Wisconsin man convicted of keeping his dead mother in a freezer for years so he can keep collecting her Social Security checks has avoided federal prison.
You are one pathetic loser.
How is this possible? During sentencing, a judge
what the shit is that?
A judge ordered 53-year-old Philip Schuth to serve 4 months simultaneously with the state prison sentence he's already serving and to repay about $35,000 he stole from the federal government. Terrible, this jackass. He told investigators his mother died of natural causes in 2000, but he hid the body because he didn't want to be blamed for her death and wanted to keep collecting her Social Security. Brilliant, 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 brilliant. What a loser brilliant. This guy is. And also from Sunday from Las Vegas.
You are one pathetic loser.
Yeah, this is a story every so often. Vegas makes it a crime to feed homeless people. A battle is brewing over a new Las Vegas ordinance that bans providing food or meals to the indigent at city parks. The Las Vegas City Council had unanimously passed a law making it a crime to feed the homeless at city parks. The law bans giving away or selling food to anyone who could get assistance from official sources under state law. The city's mayor, Goodman, dismissed the questions about how marshals will identify the homeless so they can enforce the ordinance. He says, certain truths are evident. You know who's homeless. I don't know. He's the same one. Mayor Goodman, he's the same one that said that he went to some school and some kids asked him, well, if you were on a stranded island, what would you want with you on a stranded desert island? He said a bottle of gin. So that's the our example to the rest of the world is our mayor. Also from Saturday, from Gray, Maine, 125 years of leadership in Gray, Maine. Gray Fire and Rescue held a celebration in honor of their 125th anniversary. Bagpipers led the way for the Grand Marshal, the fire chief who served Gray's fire department since 1959. The parade included antique fire trucks, blah, 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 and also the Oliver Stores antique pickup truck, and Dolly, the miniature horse, was there and her cart. So the parade led through the ladder arch and onto the soccer field, yada, yada, yada. So I wonder, Gray, Maine must be really a small town to me. Such a big deal of this miniature horse. And also from Saturday, from Tokyo, Japan, jellyfish bung up output at Japan nuclear plant. A mass of jellyfish forced a Japanese nuclear plant to slow part of its output this week after the slimy creatures blocked up the plant's seawater cooling system. It's the first time we've had to lower power outlet because of the jellyfish. So they apparently had to unclog the jellyfish from the valve so you can be able to operate the power plant at 100%. So that's kind of funny. And also from Saturday, first skin patch for Alzheimer's symptoms unveiled on Saturday. Alzheimer's patients may soon get the first skin patch to treat the creeping brain degeneration, a novel way to deliver an older drug so that it's easier to take and might even work a little better. Probably don't have a patch. The patch, which infuses the drug through the patient's skin, headlines a trio of innovative potential treatments unveiled Wednesday at an Alzheimer's meeting in Spain. Also under study are a prostate cancer drug, which may help dementia, too. And an immune therapy to ward off the sticky gunk that is Alzheimer's brain-clogging hallmark. So that'd be kind of nice to get to rein in this Alzheimer's. That'd be very good. It says here about 4.5 million Americans have Alzheimer's, a toll expected to reach a staggering 14 million by 2050 with the graying of the population. It gradually robs sufferers of their memories and ability to care for themselves, eventually killing them. And of course, there was no cure or prevention, blah, 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 so terrible. But hopefully they'll get some advances now with this patch and everything, at least help slow the progression of that disease, you know. It would be nice. Friday, from East Liverpool, Ohio, inmates escape using tractor. Two inmates are back in a Columbiana County prison Wednesday morning after escaping Tuesday afternoon. Police said Michael Armstrong, 28, and Sean Cunningham, 18, fled in a John Deere tractor they were using to mow a lawn across the road from the prison. Police captured the two men several hours later after a brief chase through the woods in East Liverpool. So you always don't leave your keys in the tractor, you know. Actually, in East Liverpool, Ohio. Greencastle, Indiana, from Friday. Town residents puzzled after R's are taken from signs. A consonant-loving thief has police and business owners baffled after dozens of R's were stolen from the signs from around the community. We've lost our R's and we want them back, says Randall Jones, president of the Headley Hardware Store. probably are stealing all these R's. That's like when Bush came in, his team came in after Clinton, and apparently all the W's were off the typewriters and all that. So, I don't know, some stupid little prank. And also from Friday, from Mossville, Illinois, fatal motorcycle crash near Cat Plant on Friday. A motorcycle accident near the Caterpillar plant in Mossville. Oh, we have a caller. Oh, I guess we can, but it must be a caller. Should we take it? We can take it. Hmm? Go ahead. Oh, and what else? I don't know if it's a joke, but to me it's just theft. National Guard Sergeant Robert Lamb. It's just disturbing, all these R's. Anyway, the cat plant. I went back to the old one. The cat plant. A motorcycle accident near the Caterpillar plant in Mossville leaves one of its workers dead. The Peoria County coroner says 23-year-old Randall Merritt was killed at the scene. The accident happened on Old Galena Road near the Mossville Grade School. It's right around shift change at the plant, which is also on that stretch of road. The coroner says Merritt wasn't wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. Terrible. Terrible. And also, mother charged in toddler's death. This is from Saturday from Ypsilanti Township, Detroit, Michigan. A local mother is charged with the death of a 3-year-old child. Latoya Joplin of Ypsilanti Township was arraigned on Wednesday on charges of murder and child abuse and the death of her 3-year-old daughter, Kayla. Kayla was beaten to death on Monday morning, according to prosecutors. An autopsy revealed Kayla died from internal bleeding. So, terrible. More of these kids are getting killed. I mean, terrible. Horrible stories with these parents and their kids. You know, the one leaving the kid there, so... Put him on? Okay, yeah, I think you... caller, you're on the air.
Hey, John, this is Ranger.
Oh, hi, how are you?
Oh, good, how are you doing?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, great, just back from a Comic-Con. I was going to tell you a little bit about that.
Oh, okay, very good, yes.
If you want to hear. Well, Battlestar was pretty heavily featured this year.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yes, I read that on the sci-fi.com on the message board. Very good.
Yeah, they had a pretty incredible presentation. It was they had Almost there, Aaron Douglas, Lucy Lawless, James Callis. It was 4,200 people. Actually, people started going into the meeting before that, or the panel before that, about 8 in the morning.
Really?
To get good seats. So.
Really? 4,200? That's pretty big. And where was it held at? The San Diego Convention Center?
Yeah,
or?
San Diego Convention Center.
Wow. And now, I was reading about, there were several different panels, right?
Yeah, there were several different ones. They had the big one with the main cast. That was kind of the main thing. It didn't really give out too many spoilers or anything coming up that wasn't really already in the TV guide that was out there. But so it was good. Everybody just kind of went down the line and talked for a little bit about the show and what they liked about it and things like that. And then people got to ask questions. They also had another panel the day before that with Richard Hatch, essentially moderating it. He was it was really supposed to be his panel, but he ended up kind of introducing Bear McCreary and. He showed a video showing the music and kind of talked about how he comes up with his ideas. That's pretty amazing. I didn't realize the guy is so young.
Oh, Bear McCreary? Yeah, he's like 26, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, he's pretty young. I mean, Katie mentioned that, too, that he's younger than he looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was cool.
And another thing that was kind of interesting about that panel, they had the science guy, the science advisor for the show.
Ah.
Guy from JPL, Kevin Grazier.
Ah.
He talked a little bit about how, the Scar episode was supposed to be can't remember exactly the term, but like just a planetary disk beginning to form. And I said they've got the input from the JPL people for all of the science.
Mm.
So that was kind of neat.
Yeah. So how was Almost?
Oh, he was really, he opened up with kind of a really funny line. He got up there, and I guess this was his first convention, he said. He made some comment, I'm not one of the guys that's going to tell you to get a life. People like that need to get their assholes checked.
That's a little shot of Shatner, because Shatner did that on Saturday Night Live years ago.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. He was there. It was the first one. Well, so he said Aaron Douglas was there. James Callis was there, right?
Yeah, Aaron Douglas was kind of a surprise. He wasn't announced. He kind of just showed up. But Mary McDonald didn't show for it.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Was she scheduled to show up or what?
Yeah, she was on the list of attending.
Well, maybe she was shooting or something, because you said not the whole cast was there, so maybe she was still shooting or something, huh?
Yeah, it could be. They didn't even mention it or didn't really say what was up.
Because they're about ready to take a hiatus, I think next week they take a hiatus.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so they, well, hopefully, well, they said it's 4,200 people, so that's a lot of people, huh?
Yeah, and they actually said that they closed the room, I guess, about 30 minutes before the session even started. They already had people in there for a, it was a Snoop Dogg Tales from the Hood or something was the presentation right before. And that just started filling up like 30 minutes ahead of time. Every seat in the place was taken.
Wow. Wow. So, unbelievable, huh?
Got to sit through a few things they didn't really care much about, but that was definitely worth it.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, well, thank you for calling in with that.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye. Yeah, that was nice. A little phone call, giving us news from the Comic-Con. Very nice. Thank you very much. And let me where I was now. It's good to know. So this is a live program. You know, it's not pre-taped, as everybody was saying. Where else? Wyoming police pledge crackdown on streakers. That's from a story from Jackson, Wyoming. Every year as the sun sets on the Teton County Fair, the moons come out. As many as 10 streakers at the Demolition Derby on the fair's last day. This year, law enforcement officers are pledging a crackdown. Teton County Attorney Steve Weichman said a growing number of people have told them that he didn't think that drunk, crazy, and naked streaking is a great, normal, fun thing. What the hell? These people, I don't know. Shouldn't they be cracking down on drug use or something like that? Don't worry about the damn streakers. Opposition to the streaking has grown since last year's derby, they said. When a deputy used a taser to apprehend John Chase Rogers, 21, dropping him to the dirt as he streaked with a fire extinguisher before a group of 3,500, before a crowd of 3,500. What else? Posters at the fair office warn that this year's fair, any public nudity will bring a charge of misdemeanor child endangerment, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. So, interesting, interesting. And also from Thursday from Middletown, Pennsylvania, Borough gives out fans to the elderly. In reaction to the heat, Middletown is giving out electric fans to elderly residents in the borough, as well as people with medical conditions. The fans are ready to be distributed. They can be picked up at the borough building, blah, blah, blah. You must bring proof that you live in Middletown. Middletown is also keeping its borough building open as a cooling center for all residents until 8 p.m. So that's good for them. Chicago has opened up cooling centers, too. I think they opened up some city buildings and somewhere else. I think it's one of the train stations are open, but they're telling people they can go there to cool off. So very good. And also from Friday, pet wolf dogs attack and kill Pennsylvania woman on Greensburg, Pennsylvania. A Westmoreland County woman has been killed by her pet hybrid wolves that she kept in a pen in her backyard. County coroner said Sandra Piovin of 50 of Salem Township was alive when she was attacked and she bled to death. The death was ruled an accident. She was found mauled Monday morning inside the pen. The canines were part wolf and part dog. The state police and county humane agents euthanized all 9 animals after consulting with the family. The official said most of the animals weighed between 70 and 100 pounds and some were 7 to 8 years old. None of the animals were neutered or spayed, so they put all the dogs to death. Huh. Wonder if they could just release them to the wild, and they're probably done better off with that. I don't know. And also Friday from Excelsior Springs, Missouri. I'm not reading. This is a commercial. The Atlas Saloon. The Atlas Saloon has appeared its new dining menu. A selection of Cajun food, along with some traditional fare, will be offered daily. Who sent me this?
Is the first hour sponsored by Atlas Saloon?
No. Who sent me this one? I have to consult my staff. I have to fire them now. So who lives in? I got to think. Who do I know lives in Excelsior Springs? I think the waitress name is Alice, and the cook is Mel. I think. And what's her name? Kiss my grits. Friday from Aurora, Colorado. Trial for man who posed as teen begins Friday. A man who posed as a teen to make friends with other children was on trial for several counts of sexual assault. Prosecutors say he targeted children, even going to school with them to make friends. He likes to dress like a kid, ride bikes and skateboards, and play video games. How old is this guy? Let me see. The prosecutor said he easily gained the trust of dozens of children and their parents, many of whom let him spend the night in their homes. They argued in the opening statements that he manipulated, fooled, and molested 20 victims, mostly boys. How old is he? No, how old he really is. They said that he is a man who is seeking family because of his Jehovah's Witness faith. He missed out on birthdays and other celebrations. The defense is not arguing the fact that McGee was not honest about his age, but they're denying all allegations of sexual assault. So I wonder how old he really is, though. So anyway, we'll take our break and bring in the second hour. We'll be joined by Scully Girl, Jamie. We'll talk about Stargate, and then following her will be Koenig Rules. And we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes.
I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go. Walking with a dead man on my shoulder. I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go. Walking with a dead man over my shoulder.
Vegas, Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
And once again, that was the Centurion in charge of production, Mr. Consular. Thank you very much. The Cylons have contract is up. I have to see if I'm renewing their contract or yet. So we'll see if the should I keep the Cylons around or what. And this is the second hour of Subject to Discussion live at LVRocks.com. Once again, I'm Sean O'Mac, Sean Daly. You can call me anything you want. Just do not call me a Republican or a Cylon. And once again, if it's Tuesday night in Las Vegas, it's time for Subject to Discussion. And we thank everybody for being in the chat room. Quite a few. Thank you very much. BSG fan is in there. Chris 1019. Ebnetter, thank you. Ebnetter's got a new fan site for Katie Sackhoff. So I asked her. She can go ahead and drop it into the chat room if she wants. 40's in there. GLZ, Net Ranger, Scully Girl, myself, and somebody named Terry is in the chat room. And now we'll be joined by Scully Girl, Jamie, with our Stargate review. Jamie, are you there?
Yeah, Bryce, I get Stargate music, too.
How about that music? Yeah, it's incredible. Got
you know, that music reminds me of Waterworld for some reason.
Yeah, it does, kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's that band. You know, I got quite a budget. I got a band. I got Cylons running around here, you know. Only one I can't get back on contract is Muffet. You know, hey, Muffet was only able to make one appearance, and I could not bring him to agreement on the contract. So anyway, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You've been on before.
Yeah.
Right? So she said she's a little nervous, but it's no problem. You know, I mean, now you're a huge fan of the Stargates, right?
Yeah.
Now, which of the two programs are your favorite?
Out of the two?
Yes.
I think probably the original Stargate, because I've been watching it a lot longer.
Very good. It's very good.
I like them all.
Yeah. So now, oh, I'm sorry. I'm blocking the camera with my paper. Sorry. It's a radio show. Damn it, not a TV show. Anyway, you like SG-1 better than Atlantis. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Stargate. I've been like hit or miss on this show. I've been catching it more, since the new seasons have started. Now, I don't know if you saw this on where was it? I was on some site today, and I said that they're going to take like 6 months off after September.
No, I did not know that.
Something like that. If anybody has verification that they could drop it into the chat room, but it's. Something or taking, I don't know what's going on. They're going to air these new episodes till September, and then they're going to take time off, and then they're going to come back. I think they said March for the other 10. So I don't know.
Well, they bring it back.
Yeah. It's just a little strange there, but anyway. Did you get the new TV guide? They have the sci-fi preview in here with Katie and Jamie Bamber on the cover. Very nice.
I've not bought that yet.
You haven't bought that
go
yet.
Out, make sure I get it.
Make sure you get the right one because there's four different covers. You got the ugly guy from Smallville on there in one cover, and you got the bald guy from Lost, and you got Kirk and Spock on one, and you got the one. Of course, I have is the one with Katie and.
Or I have to buy three out of the four then.
Well, really?
Everything but Star Trek.
Oh, really? You don't like Star Trek?
Oh, I really didn't grow up on that, so I didn't.
Wow.
Not into that, but definitely. Lost, and I still like Smallville.
So. Wow, so I guess you're not going to be buying any Uhura's costumes that are up on eBay, huh? No. But it's interesting. They give you some, this is not really a big spoiler. Somebody already copied that in the sci-fi message board, but they, of course, talk about Spock and all that. They talk about the sneak peek of Atlantis and all that. Now, this week coming up, they're doing a crossover between the two shows, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to evolve, they call the Pegasus Project, right?
Yeah, and they're going to join forces, I guess, to try to stop the Ori mm-hmm. I know the preview didn't show a whole lot, but I remember her saying that something like that, whatever they're going to do could vaporize both Stargates, both ends. So.
Now, what do you know anything about the third series, the second spinoff, if there's going to be one?
No, I haven't heard anything. I didn't know if that was true or not.
Yeah, because here we go. JLZ in the chat room saying that SG-1 will take a six-month break, returning in March. So I don't know what that means for Atlantis, but at least SG-1's going to take a break, a six-month break.
Well, they've gone 10 years. I guess they have a right to.
They can afford to take a second. They just rehash some of the old episodes. Now, I don't know if you got the ratings. I got the ratings. Apparently, they're not doing too well. SG-1 premiered with Flesh and Blood on July 14th, having moved back. They pushed them back now to a 9 o'clock time slot, and they earned a very poor 1.4 average household rating, which is still very good for cable. Anything over a 1, I know in my time in the wrestling business, you know, anytime the WWE, you know, a 1 is wonderful for cable. You know, but a 1.4 is a loss of 26% from Season 9's Camelot. And 22% down from last season's average ring. So I don't know what it's a big fall there, you know.
Yeah.
But they make it up. See, they're in syndication, so that's somehow they're kind of protected with that. They're in syndication. They got the DVDs and all that. It is also SG-1's lowest rating since season 6's Paradise Lost. So I don't know. And then maybe it's the later time slot that have hurt both of the shows, you know.
Yeah. Maybe once, too, they bring, well, if it airs when Battlestar Galactica is on, it could bring some more in.
Yeah.
People watch, you know, the whole block.
Correct. Well, I didn't you know, remember, you know, when I was setting the VCR, I was saying, oh, all of a sudden I turned it on, I got the Science of Stargate, and I got one of the shows. I'm like, wait a minute. And I looked, oh, they pushed them both back, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got everything except my DVD cut off half the preview for next week's Atlantis,
Well, now I think they're going to put. Night Stalker is going to be put. They're going to put that in front of them on Friday.
Yeah, I think it's 9 o'clock on Friday. Yeah,
so that
or
might
8 o'clock.
So that might help because there's four unaired episodes. They're going to air, you know, all the episodes, but there's four of them haven't aired yet. So that might help the Stargates having, you know, what do you call it, Night Stalker in front of it.
Yeah, that was a good show. They shouldn't have canceled it.
Yeah. Well, it's. I said the networks have no faith in science fiction programming. Look at all the ones that are gone now. I mean. Yeah, Surface is gone, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then what's the other
Invasion's gone.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't survive. I mean, they only have no faith. They don't let the programs, you know, build an audience. They, you know, jerk them off, you know, pull them off the schedule, and they, you know, put in a movie or something, you know? So anyway, now last week's SG-1, what'd you think of that?
I really enjoyed it. It was interesting. It was about the parasite that was making them pretty much fall asleep and go into coma and die because they were having too much melatonin, I think, in their brains, and they were trying to stay awake and had to find out how to fix that.
That's what Daniel said. They opened up with, apparently, not, what's her name, Vala's daughter is causing trouble, right?
Yeah, and they have taken over 6 more planets, and I know that they're trying to find their weapon to destroy the Ascended, so that's why they went to a cave on that planet. They found the gate address in a book that Daniel was looking at, that had to do with more of the King Arthur legends and everything. So
yeah, it's amazing how they're bringing all that in. I like how they've gone back to the mythology of the movie. You know,
mm-hmm.
They've gone back to that. I think that's what, you know, pull people in because it's more of a, you know, what if, you know, it's somewhat based in reality, so people can relate to that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's got more of like one kind of storyline stringing together now too.
Yeah, same thing with Battlestar. They thread the storyline. Even some of these standalone episodes are still threading along. You know, this, you know, the major storyline, which is finding Earth and, you know, fighting off the Cylons and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, what else? Now secondary story was Vala trying to get past a psych test, and I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. I enjoyed that a lot. I like Vala.
Yeah, she's very, and then she's with Beau Bridges' character, the admiral or the colonel. No, is he colonel?
General.
and she's trying to learn all these, you know, psych words to psych out the test. And then that other guy comes in, Robert Picardo's character comes in. Now he's appearing in both of the shows now, right?
Yeah, and he's trying to trick her into working for them and in order to pass the psych test. And she finds out after that he's tricking her, but, you know, she did say no to him, so that was part of the test.
Yeah. Now, what stood out in this episode? I was surprised that what's his name, Teal'c, actually had more of a role in this than he usually does in the episodes.
Yeah.
Seems Yeah.
I was just, the thing I was surprised anyway about, though, was that the fact that it seemed that the parasite still affected him just the same. I don't know why. I would have been under the impression that he wouldn't have had quite the same reaction. But I guess now that he just is taking Tritonin, maybe that makes a difference.
Hmm. Yeah, because they would. Well, yeah, because Teal'c and Mitchell go exploring in that cave, chasing after that lizard, and all that. And then he falls asleep, and then Teal'c, you know, somehow stays awake during the whole thing.
Yeah, but he's pretty close, I think, at the end.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He passed out at the end, didn't he? Right when they're saving him or something.
Yeah, when they found him, and then they found out that it had somehow related to Atlantis. So that's what's going to set up the crossover.
Yeah, and Daniel's always wanted to go to Atlantis. For some reason, they've never had him go to Atlantis, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is like a dream come true for him. And then what else? I made notes, so I'm sorry. I'm just because I'm not an expert on the series. I have to make notes. You know, let's see, blah 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 blah. At the end of the episode, Vala's trying to get out of there. She's trying to get them to activate the gate.
Yeah,
right?
Because she's ready to leave. She's kind of fed up with it, I guess.
Yeah, I thought that was funny because then Landry comes out and says that she passed the exam, and they all say she has potential, blah blah blah. And that's when he reveals Woolsey. That's who it was. Reveals that the offer is part of the test for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like how the interaction between her and Daniel. She wants it when she gets her share of the loot and everything.
Yeah. All the other part too that was funny with her was when she informed Daniel she was going on his computer. Somehow she already had the password.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I like the interplay between those two. I thought when they're bringing her on, they would have had her interplaying more with Mitchell because of the Farscape, they're in the series together and all that. But it kind of just steered her away from him completely.
Yeah,
which is nice because usually somebody shows they put them together and they do all that funny.
Yeah.
Funny, don't I know you from somewhere? You know what I mean? They haven't done that on this, which is smart.
I like her chemistry with Daniel though.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, though, when Jack comes back, because he's in the 200th episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what episode that is of the season, but I know he's supposed to be in it.
Really?
Yeah.
So, she's never met him, has she?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. Come to think of it, I don't think so. I'm sure she's heard of him, though.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting how they play. Now, I have a question. What happened to the daughter, or the doctor daughter that was on there?
Cassie?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
she kind of disappeared.
Yeah, she's not even on the opening credits anymore. She just kind of, she was there last year, and then woof, she's gone. She was what's her name? She was Andromeda on Andromeda. Right.
Oh, his daughter.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
talking about something completely different.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You mean what was her name? Now that you said that, I'll never remember. Landry's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned her though. I think in the episode. Something about the medical supplies or something she sent, so I assume she's still there.
Hmm. Well, hopefully. Cause I liked her when she was Andromeda, so hopefully they'll keep her back on the show.
Yeah, that's Michael Shanks, Daniel's real-life wife, too.
Oh.
Which is interesting.
Oh, well, then they'll make time for her,
Yeah.
I want to rile him up, because I said to you at the Koenig last week that he's kind of like the heart and soul of that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now Atlantis. Now, what did you think of Atlantis? It was Misbegotten was the name of that episode, right?
Yeah. I like the whole them turning into humans. I think it's mm-hmm. cool. I was surprised kind of at the beginning when, Michael, who obviously before is turned back into Wraith, was like, then kill me. He didn't want to be changed again. And I don't know, they did it again, and it seems like now he kind of has a right to be pissed because they haven't listened, and it's like he's helped them with no reason to, and they've still screwed him over, so...
Hmm. And then, they open it with Dr. Weir on Earth at Stargate Command. I thought that was kind of cool. They open it there, and she's under review, right? To see if they're going to leave her in charge of the expedition, as they call it.
Yeah, and Woolsey follows her there and is checking up on her, I guess, to kind of keep watch and see what goes on, and tries to get I can't think of his name. The guy played by Mitch Pileggi.
He's in charge of that ship and everything, right?
He's trying, the Daedalus, he's trying to get him, I think, to say bad things about Weir and take over her job, but he obviously isn't willing to do that, so.
Yeah, and then Wraith ship comes out, and Dr. Becca, they throw him in the control chair, right?
Yeah.
And he's never been in that chair before, right?
Well, he was in there before when he almost killed Jack and... Shepherd.
Oh,
which is kind of why he's afraid to do it again.
And it turns out that his ship is also commanded by a Shepherd, so he almost blasted him again, huh?
Yeah.
So,
luckily they called through, and so they knew it was him. And obviously, Taylor's been able to fly the Wraith ship to some extent, because she sort of has some Wraith in her, but not enough to control the weapons, and which gets them into problems.
Really? Now, has Stargate Atlantis grabbed you from the when it first started, or?
Yeah, I've liked it from the very beginning. I think what made me like it more too was the fact that I was when I went to the convention, I went on the Atlantis set tour and saw the set before they even aired it, so.
Wow.
I kind of, had to see it just because of that, and I really liked it a lot. But I still like Stargate Issue 1 because it's the original, and I started it first. But I'm into both. I like them both.
Really? Now, some sites are saying it's supposed to be people who produce the movie are pressuring MGM to let them produce like two more movies.
I don't know. I didn't hear that. But that would be nice.
That'd be interesting. What they do? It's been so many years,
Yeah.
And I like the what's his name, the doctor,
McKay.
Yeah, I think he's funny. I like him. He's got those smart aleck remarks and everything.
Yeah.
And what else is on there? Shepard. Yeah, he's very good too. And Weird. Now Weird's he's the military. He's in charge, and she's more of the science side of it, right?
Yeah, he has a military background, so that's what he's in charge of. But I think they both, they all work together. Well, and I think, too, that Ronan was a good addition when they added him last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the second season.
And then when they go down to the planet, they bring all the Wraith down to the planet, right? Because they're going to leave him there. And then they realize something's up because I guess they give them some kind of a drug or something that wipes out their memory? Is that
yeah,
right?
And so they don't remember that they were Wraith.
Yeah, so then they realize what's going on, and they take the Beckett hostage, right?
Yeah,
and
make him tell the fail-safe plan.
Yeah, because they knew Shepard would have some kind of a fail-safe plan on the planet or anything like that. And then the one guy from Star Trek Enterprise, what's his name? He's on there now, right?
I don't know people from Star Trek.
You don't know Star Trek?
No, I don't watch Star Trek.
Yeah, he plays one that one guy who was human at the beginning when they're down on the planet.
Oh,
Michael. Yeah,
Connor Trenier, I think.
Correct.
Something like that.
So
yeah.
He's on that. And
what I find funny though is they all have long white hair when they change back. One of them was bald, and he has like brown hair. It he doesn't look like a Wraith, but yet all the rest of them do. It doesn't. I don't know. To me, it doesn't fit right.
Yeah, I thought it was funny because he's standard normal, and then the other ones have changed. I'm like, what was he changing or what? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. And what else? Then Shepard orders him to open fire on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Because they didn't want the other Wraith to get the people on the planet, right?
Right, because and also their bomb that they had set off had been defused by Michael and the other Wraith, so they needed a backup plan.
So it was an incredible episode. I mean, if you had to choose between which one of the two series had the better episode?
Probably Atlantis.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know. I think the storyline was more interesting because I really do like the whole thing with them changing the race back into human because it just really surprised me when they started with that last season. I think it's a good storyline because it's a way they can defeat them, possibly.
Yeah. Now Koenig was saying that he's kind of surprised that when Weir is on Earth, they don't mention what's going on with the SG-1, and Woolsey doesn't mention what's he's like there's like the two shows exist, but there's no relation between the two.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this crossover next week will change that somewhat.
Yeah, you think there would be some kind of, and not every week an interplay, but at least some kind of oh my God, did you hear what happened on Atlantis or something?
Yeah.
Something huge like that.
Yeah, I don't know though how often they contact each other, but I know now they have the gate obviously working to go back and forth. So
yeah, so hopefully, and maybe see the villains switch, change places or something.
Yeah,
Or the Go'uld or something like that, huh?
Well, the one time there was a Go'uld that got into Atlantis that was in like I said, Miss Valenti's character when it had somehow gotten over there. I don't remember the name of the episode, but that was last season, I believe. Because he was kind of forced to betray them.
Wow. And actually, GLZ is saying that as the Stargate movie, they're trying to reassemble the original movie cast with Kurt Russell and company. So they won't be involving Richard Dean Anderson. I think that's a mistake because more people associate now Stargate. Yeah, they think they would.
Yeah, it'd have to be a completely different storyline. I mean, they couldn't even really connect them if they have different people. I can't see that working.
Yeah, unless they somehow emerge, maybe have the TV show actors on. Well, they play the same characters. So I guess they can't. I thought, well, I doubt it. What's the name? We'll come back and do a Stargate movie. He's busy with Bust and Legal. What the hell? James Spader.
James Spader, yeah.
Yeah. But you think they'd be smart. You go with the who's on the same thing with the Star Trek The Next Generation. They didn't, change the cast,
That's true, but I don't know. Would Richard Dean Anderson even do it? I don't know. Maybe for a movie he would, but
yeah.
Never know.
Yeah. So he's supposed to appear, I think, in the episode 200, and then supposedly like one or two episodes on Atlantis. He's going to go to Atlantis for a couple episodes. Is that right?
That I haven't heard, but I did hear he's going to be in the 200th episode.
So that should be good. Now, do you know if the 200 episodes going to be like a flashback? They're going to go, flash.
I don't think. From what I read before, they were doing something special, but I think it said something like that it wasn't going to be quite as, I don't want to say funny, but as Wormhole Extreme. Mm-hmm. But I don't know exactly what they're doing. I haven't really read anything about it, but I know that they said they were doing something special and that he was coming back, and so.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's not one of them flashback episodes. GLZ said it's going to be a different story and not impugn on the series. It's going to pick up where the original movie left off.
Well, that would completely change, though, the whole backstory of Stargate, though, because we've learned it all from the series now.
Yeah, because, well, the series picked up where the movie left off anyway.
Yeah, right. Completely separate storyline. I can't see that doing very well. I don't know.
Neither can I. Same thing with the Battlestar Galactica, The Second Coming, picking up where the original series left off. And it's like, what? I mean, that's it's ridiculous. You got the series that's on right now. I mean, it's going to totally mess everything up,
Yeah.
So anyway, and then what else? Now next week's is the crossover going to be on both shows? Do you know, or is it just be on one on SG-1?
I know it's on SG-1. Like I said, I don't have the preview the second one, so I didn't see the whole thing.
So I wonder, because I was looking on the previews at Gate World, and it doesn't. I don't know why I'm reading. I'm not the next expert in Stargate, but when I'm reading it, doesn't look like the crossover is just going to be on SG-1, not on Atlantis. So
I don't know. They'll probably finish the storyline before Atlantis then.
Yeah, because they should. They should somehow affect both of the shows. If it's going to be some huge crossover, it should be on both of them.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah, because they're filming at the same time. I think it would be kind of cool to have a storyline that goes through.
It continues
through.
On, yeah.
Because it starts in the one and it goes through to the second one. It may do a three-parter, have it end a week later on SG-1 again.
Yeah, well, at least they've had some character crossovers, like Woolsey and Weir. General and everything, General Landry, so.
Yeah, he's showing up. And then what's her name showing up a few times? And what's his name's dreams? Sam's showing up in McKay's dreams.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
The original colonel, what's his name? He showed up, I think. Didn't he show up? Not Bo Bridges, but the other one.
I know who you mean.
Yeah,
but I can't think today. I've lost my memory.
Oh, that's right. You went down some stairs, didn't you?
What? I'm sorry. What?
You went down some stairs.
Yes. Maybe that affected my memory.
Oh, maybe you came through the gate there. Maybe you're a little dizzy from coming through the gate.
No? Yeah. At least I got a laptop, though.
Yeah. And so, hopefully. Now, any hopes you have for the third season of Atlantis or the 10th season of SG-1?
As long as they keep it going and the stories are good, I'll be happy. I'd like to see more of, Jack O'Neill back in the story, but I don't think he's going to be in that much, so.
Really? Now, how do you think Brent Browder's been doing in taking Dean Anderson's place?
He's good. Yeah. I think Richard Dean Anderson better, but he's still a good character. Mm-hmm. But I think I still, right now at least, like Daniel and Vala, I think is the best interaction for right now. So.
Mm-hmm. And then now Teal'c and all of them. Now he's the only one left. Well, he's the one that's been on the show for the whole run, right? Because Amanda's went off on her maternity leave, right?
Yeah.
Daniel left for a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Richard Dean Anderson's missed a few episodes. Yeah, now he's off completely. So Teal'c's the only original.
That's true.
And he was in the movie too, wasn't he?
No.
No. Oh, I
not
thought
that
he was.
I know of.
Oh. But he's the only original cast member left. It's amazing.
Yeah, but I was just going to say too. Also, Alexis Cruz was in the movie as well as the series. Want to play Scarra?
Ah.
And the one that plays. I think his name's Kasuf. I don't know how to pronounce it. That was that the kid's father. He's been in both too. That's also Daniel's dead wife's father.
Oh, he was in the original movie, too?
Yeah, they were the same actors that played them.
Wow.
They could carry them over, so.
Well, that's got to be pretty cool, I mean, because it's in their 10th year, and you know, beyond the show, you know, even sporadically from the movie, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now, did you think the series was going to last this long, 10 seasons?
No, I didn't expect it to. I didn't expect it ever to go past X-Files, but
yeah.
I'm still glad it did.
Now, how many more years do you think the SG-1's got left in it? They said maybe like 3 or 4 seasons left.
I'd like to see more seasons, but just going by what other shows do, I can't. I think if it goes, it won't go too far because I think they'll just end up, they won't get enough ratings, but I mean, I hope it goes a lot farther.
Yeah, well, I was reading something that they're saying that the expenses of doing the show might, you know, it's going to be the big prohibitor of it keep going. You know, because you know, the crew and you know all this, you know, the actors, the salaries, everything. You know.
Yeah, but it's sci-fi. I mean, it's one of their biggest shows, so it's not like the main networks tend to cancel all the sci-fi shows.
Yeah,
it's a better shot.
Like I was saying, they also have the syndication deal, so I mean they're making money off of that. You know, with MGM, and they got all the DVDs and everything, so that's got to help. You know, the money wise, and of course, and Atlantis is in its third season, so they got to keep an eye on that too. Because you know, would SG-1 be able to survive if would Atlantis be able to survive if SG-1 was off the air? You know?
Yeah, might be the one that making all crossover episodes. At one point.
So you gotta wonder about that. Same thing with Battlestar when they start the Caprica series. You know how you're gonna have them go together because you know Galactica probably then will be in its fourth season. How long will you keep Galactica on with Caprica? You know.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. Well, Jamie, we'll let you go. I did have a little segment with you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll have you on next week.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
And that was Jamie Scully Girl with our Stargate review. Thank you very much for being on the program. We had a nice talk about the Stargates. I said, I'm sorry I'm not up on Stargate. That's why I asked her if she would come on and help guide me through these reviews of SG-1 and Atlantis. And somebody else asked me, what else are they selling of the Stargate from Star Trek, excuse me. And they have Picard's flute in the TV guide. It's up for sale from the Next Generation. The Inner Light episode had Picard experiencing the life of another man, blah, blah, blah. The flute, $300, but with the case, it's $500. So, and like I said, Janeway's chair, it's a nice chair she had. Data's visor, from the Next Generation, the ritual poker game aboard the Enterprise, that's the visor he was wearing. That's between $400 and $500 for that thing. Can you believe that? I said Uhura's costumes from the motion picture, Star Trek the motion picture, between $3,000 and $5,000. And then Seven's costume, I wasn't sure she was wearing a costume. I think it was just a piece of thread she was wearing from Voyager, between $1,000 and $1,500. What I like, though, is the Enterprise A model. That's what I like. From the first 6 films, more than 8 feet long, this detailed piece appeared on the various incarnation, blah, blah. $15,000 to $25,000 for that model. Incredible. You ever come here to Las Vegas, I get the Star Trek The Experience out here at the Las Vegas Hilton, and I have these models hanging off from the ceiling and throughout the experience. It's amazing, amazing. Quarks, you go into Quarks, you got the Ferengi waiting on you, and you have the Deep Space Nine promenade and everything. It's just incredible. The money they put into that thing and the detail, even the slot machine, they have a little casino in there. You put your finger, and it goes into the infrared light there, and the wheel starts spinning on the slot machine. So it's anybody comes out to Vegas, if you're a sci-fi fan, even if you're not a huge Star Trek fan, I'm not an enormous Trek fan, but I've liked all the movies. The series, The Next Generation, for a few years, actually I liked the Voyager a lot more than the others. Deep Space Nine was okay, but I liked Voyager. I liked the idea of the ship being lost out there in space and how they're getting back to Earth. That was like the underlying story of the whole series. So I liked that, and Kate Mulgrew, I thought she did an excellent job as Janeway. So, but and what else is for sale here? And that's it. But they actually had the sci-fi board on Mrs. Ron's thread. She had posted everything else that's for sale, scripts and everything else. It's incredible. So I think with that, we have Koenig Rules is in the wings.
By your command.
And Mr. Koenig Rules, here he comes. Mr. Konigruels, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Are you there?
Yes, I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Okay. Is that the 4400 theme song?
No, it's the Battlestar Galactica theme song.
Really? That's not the Battlestar Galactica theme song.
That's the old. That's a re.
That's the old one.
The regenerated. Yes. So we just had Scully Girl on with our Stargate review. So it was very good.
And did you watch the Stargate?
Yes. Yes. I'm starting to get into them.
You even SG-1 this week?
Yes.
I fell asleep during that one.
I read the ratings. The ratings were horrible.
They
dropped through the floor.
I am so happy Battlestar is not even having to associate with, and I do appreciate there are Stargate fans out there, but still, if Battlestar Galactica is going to go down, let it do so of its own accord, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what...
What is going on with these ratings?
You know what I think? I don't know. I think it's
no, tell me what you think.
It's Friday night. It's a summer. Everybody's out. Everybody's recording the shows or TiVoing them or whatever they're doing with them. And, you know, it's like somebody said at the Comic-Con that, I forgot which panel it was. They said, watch the show live. They want people to watch the show. You know, I think it's probably with Battlestar. Watch it live. I've said that all along. I said that during the first season with all this crap and everybody pirating episodes. I go, no. You know, watch the damn episode. You got to get the ratings up so they keep renewing it. You know?
John, if it's watching the show live, it's already been recorded.
Well, no, live when...
I know.
I think it's the summer, and then I think this time off that's Stargate. How long has Stargate been off the air?
About what, 6 months?
Yeah, March, I guess they said. Well,
not exactly 6 months.
Yeah,
but
I mean they've just dropped. What was it? It's between. I was reading about SG-1, the premiere of Flesh and Blood, having moved back from. I think that and the time slot change has thrown a lot of people off because now they're pushed back an hour. They earned a very.
That's right. They are pushed back an hour.
At 1.4 for SG-1.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
John Doe, repeats of John Doe were doing as good.
Really?
So,
I don't know.
Even Firefly.
Terrible. Now, they said what might help them, though, is that Night Stalker is going to be on in front of them this week.
So, we'll see. Yeah. John, we'll see. I got the DVD set. I'm not sure how many people would tune into Night Stalker. We'll see. It can't be much lower, though.
No, GLZ is asking, even if they record it, shouldn't it be reflected in the ratings? No, the recording has nothing to do with the ratings. The TiVoing, they keep track of the TiVoing, but they actually are watching on the TV, on the sci-fi channel, is where the ratings come from. And it's only those with those damn boxes and the things on. So I said it before, the Nielsen system is full of it. Because I swear, because they said 4,200 people were at the convention in San Diego for the Battlestar Galactica thing. It was the biggest crowd of anything that they had.
How many were for Stargate?
I think 30. I don't know. I don't know. But they said, by far, they said for every, I read something somewhere, for every, I don't know, one person they let in, four people had to be turned away or something like that. So that tells you the popular.
Stargate?
No, the Battlestar.
Oh.
And that should tell you about the strength of the series, and I said, I think it's full of it. And there are more people watching that show than the Nielsens realize,
That's right.
That's, I think, because, and then, you said the people got up and down and were screaming when Almost came got up and went up to the podium and took a little shot at Shatner
right
and
were you there?
No, I wasn't there. Are you kidding?
Hi, I'm Sean.
Who?
Be on my show.
They won't invite me to those things. Are you kidding?
You heard Eureka did absolutely fantastic in the ratings.
I can't believe that. I can't.
Well, I wish Battlestar was going on Tuesday night.
No. Oh.
Maybe
now they will move it. But I think you're right, probably right to probably put Doctor Who in front of Galactica. Huh?
Well, they're going to have to do something.
I
don't know.
The loss of the ratings is 26% from season 9's Camelot and 22% down from last season's average of 1.8. So
didn't it do something like the lowest since season 6?
Yes.
They said something like that since season 6.
Yes.
Ways back.
Yeah, the season premiere of Atlantis earned slightly better. They went a little up. Yeah, they were just a little bit better. Yeah, they're down almost 17% from the season finale, 21% from the season 2 average of 1.9. This ties Atlantis' lowest rated episodes, Coup d'etat and Michael. So it's terrible.
Did you hear the latest, too? Did Scully Girl mention that they might be doing a Stargate 2 and 3?
Oh, the
with,
movies?
With the original cast.
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, that's going to mess up the series because, you know.
I know.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Yeah, if they're smart, they'd put well, I don't know if the ratings are falling. I don't know if they put the TV cast in the movie, but with the TV, with the fans support a Stargate movie? I mean, with the ratings dropping?
I don't know, but if they had you in the movie, I think the ratings would go sky.
Absolutely. Yeah, my co-star would have to be Katie Sackhoff. We had to do some several love scenes throughout the movie.
Uh-oh. Remember, keep it PG.
Yeah, probably. But anyway, what else? In the Comic-Con event, here we go, the Sci-Fi Programming Vice President, Nora O'Brien. I wonder if she's related to Chief O'Brien from...
or maybe Edmund O'Brien. Oh, laddie.
She encouraged fans to watch the show live, not on TiVo. Oh, here you go. Not on TiVo, since that is ultimately the ratings number that matters to advertisers upon which the series renewals depend. So there you go. Don't TiVo the damn show. Sit there and watch it for the hour. You know?
I never TiVo it.
Really? Yeah, I sit there and watch it, even though I know I'm recording it. If I get home in time, I'll sit there and watch it. You know?
That's right.
And it's true. Turn on if you're TiVo, just turn the TV on and you know go do whatever you're gonna do and then come back and shut it off later. You know,
right?
You know? Definitely. So see if the ratings support them, the network seems to have every intention of renewing the two Stargate series for an 11th and 4th season, respectively. So an SG-1's
you think
cast
get the ratings for that?
I don't know. SG-1's cast has already signed on for a possible 11th year.
Oh.
So
I shouldn't say that. Half hour of your 2-hour show.
I don't know. No.
please watch Stargate. I want to be employed.
Well, this is funny though, because I'm starting to get into it. I hope they don't cancel. I'm just starting to get into it this season. You know?
Have you been watching the 4400?
Yeah, it's the last week's show was a little different there. Actually, I was stunned. They spent the money because Brian Dennehy was on there.
I know. Wasn't that great?
That blew me away.
They've had. Who's the one from the Birds? Tippi Hedren.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've had Brian Dennehy. They've had Alice Krug. I mean,
oh yes, the
They've had name stars on that show.
Yes, and Brian
so
Dennehy.
I've been impressed.
Yeah, I remember when he got his big break on Dynasty all those years ago, playing the lawyer.
And for you Knott's Landing trivia fans, he also did an episode of Knott's Landing.
Who did he play in there?
He played. A millionaire that I think Richard, the lawyer Richard, was trying to court for to represent or whatever, Richard Avery to represent. So,
huh.
Yeah, and Richard was probably going to be giving up his law career to go off and work for Brian Dennehy. So,
wow, he's a good actor. I like to see him in the Caprica series. You know, I see him.
He'd be a good Cylon, wouldn't he?
I don't know about that. He may be. Well, I don't think Adama's father probably would be. I don't know, who knows, but I mean, I like to see Dennehy in it and Linda Gray, you know.
Linda Gray? Oh,
Dallas.
No, jeez. It's going to be Dallas. No. Oh, God.
Well, it's going to be a soap already. Might not have experienced soap actors on the series, you know.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Know. And then actually, Darth Marley is saying, what, Brokeback Stargate with Katie and Sean. Yeah.
But that was good. The 4400 had a good humor.
Yeah, with the cookies. Yeah.
It was different, like you said, it was totally different. I mean, where they had all unresolved issues, the son having issues with the father, the female having issues with her ex-boyfriend. It was good. It really was, because you really, and I know you want me to talk about Battlestar, but the 4400, I mean, it's like you didn't even know those characters before the 4400 came back, so I liked how they added some history.
Yeah, and Dennehy's character was a cop, and
right.
You know, he wasn't home very much, and blah, blah. And Dennehy has played cops in some...
Yes.
He did some series of movies playing a Chicago detective from...
Did he do a TV show? A series?
Yeah.
Where he played a detective?
He did a couple series. He did a sitcom. He was playing some... I forget what that was. That was about, and he did a detective. He's like somebody that should be in the series. Dennehy.
Third Rock from the Sun. No, that wasn't him.
No,
that was Lithgow.
But he's got to be in the series because he's a great actor.
How about Stargate?
Huh?
How about Stargate?
Stargate?
They should, yeah, they should put him in Stargate. Except, could they fit him through the Stargate?
No, he's a pretty big guy. But he was in a miniseries years ago with the guy that's now on Grey's Anatomy, Patrick Dempsey. It's like a Kennedy type of a miniseries.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
With I can't remember the actress's name, but that was outstanding as well. He's a great, great actor. I like him a lot.
Well, I thought you'd be impressed when you saw him. You know, with that baseball cap. I thought you would. I figured Sean's going to be so impressed by this.
I would have been more impressed if the cap said socks on it, you know, the White Sox, but, you know, I don't know. But it was a good episode because they talk about that, you know, the old lady from the 4400, she was making cookies, and apparently she had some power, right, where she can.
She secreted stuff through her pores.
From her garden, right? Through her herbs.
Yeah.
And the herbs somehow allowed people to have, you know, emotional breakthroughs, I guess, is what she was saying.
Right, by eating the cookies. Don't eat those cookies, damn it.
And then I like the secondary storyline with Sean and that chick.
Isabel. Yeah, what the heck's going on there?
Yeah.
Jeez. And they're going to get married next week?
It seems like she's going to force them to get married, and she's pretty much...
I'm telling you, she's the Antichrist.
Yeah, and
she's going to totally destroy everything by the end of the season.
Really?
And
how are the ratings for the 4400 doing? You said
the 4400 and Dead Zone, they've dropped a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's not anything like the drop for Stargate. I mean, they're in the top 15 for the week, both Dead Zone and 4400. So my guess is, what else are they going to put on, you know, on the Sunday night? My guess is they'll be coming back, you know?
Well, and then they showed Isabel going to Sean's mother.
Yes,
right?
Yes, we're getting married.
Yeah, and that seemed to have scared Sean enough where he's going to go along with this probably, huh?
Well, yeah, otherwise what she's going to do, remember she set a threat? Well, Sean, you know, I'm supposed to be doing all these terrible things, and you're the one that grounds me, and it's like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
You've got a psycho 4400 on our hands there, so... I don't know how it's all going to turn out, but Jordan Collier, the guy who started the 4400 Center, he's coming back. Mm. So you haven't seen him yet, the one that started that whole corporation that Sean has taken over. Well, Jordan was shot and supposedly killed, but I guess his 4400 power is he can't die.
Oh,
so
really?
He's going. The only reason he isn't back, get this, he does... A trip around the world every year, and when they film most of the 4400 this season, he wasn't available.
Huh? Scully Girl's asking, when is he coming back, Jordan
Collier?
He's
coming back in episode 9 or 10. So they've done about 6 or 7 episodes. Within the next couple of weeks, he's going to be back.
And how about the Smallville news that the Green Arrow is showing up?
And he was supposed to. The Aquaman.
Oh.
And I guess he's one of the former Passion stars on NBC, and so he did Aquaman. The pilot wasn't picked up, so now he's going to be in about 6 or 7 episodes as Green Arrow. Yeah.
Playing Oliver.
I know about that news, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah, he's playing Oliver Queen, who is a secret identity of the Green Arrow. And the Green Arrow, so I'm a big comic book fan. Green Arrow's kind of like a cheaper version of Batman because he's got all these stuff in his arrows, like a tear gas arrow, a net arrow, and everything else. So apparently.
With the character name of Queen, though, I don't
Oliver
know.
Well, apparently he's coming to town to recruit Clark to the Justice League.
Yes. So they've had the Flash, Kid Flash on. They've had there was one other from Teen Titans that was sort of like an android. He was on.
Jeez.
So they're bringing in to play here, I think, a whole mess of superheroes.
I don't understand it, because Clark has yet to put on the Superman tights, you know?
Well, you know what? They're changing all that image. That's probably why, to a certain degree, the Superman movie didn't work as well as it should, because they varied the mythos so much with Smallville that, we're back to Christopher Reeve with tights? You know, it's sort of like, it's almost like, as I was thinking this, it's a step backwards from where the TV shows are moving. So
yeah.
I shouldn't be so critical of it, but I think they tried to pay so much tribute to the 1970s movies that they didn't have fun with the show.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, I understand. I read a couple years ago that Bruce Wayne's supposed to show up in Smallville. Did he ever?
Yes.
He's never shown up yet.
Not yet, but there's still talk about bringing a young Batman on board. And of course, you know, Lois Lane doesn't work for the Daily Planet. Chloe does. I mean, they're changing this whole mythos.
Yeah, the origin.
Superman.
Yeah, but I don't like that. There's, you know, tinkering. Same thing in the...
You don't, huh?
I don't like when they mess with the origin.
I think you need to write a letter and say, I'm Sean.
No,
I don't like what you're doing.
The Superman, well, I
know. Get on my show and tell me.
Well, the Superman characters have been around for years. And same thing with the Batman movies. The first Batman movie with Michael Keaton, they changed the origin that it was Jack Napier that killed Bruce's
Joker.
Parents, which was ridiculous. Because Joe Chill is the one who killed Bruce Wayne's parents. You know, it's
right.
I'm glad in this new movie they went back to that. They mm-hmm. said, no, you know, Joe Chill killed Bruce Wayne's parents. You know?
Right.
And I liked it when it went back to the, except they burned down Wayne Manor, but, you know, I didn't like that at all. But and in most
but it
of that,
was different.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. Most of that, the city scenes were shot in Chicago for Batman.
Really?
Yes.
The new Batman?
Yes, Batman Begins. Most of it was
wow.
shot in the city. Because you look at the Wayne building there, that's the Chicago Mercantile building
okay.
downtown. But, they've what they did with it to turn it into a Wayne building.
My wife is telling me that she talked to you one time, the only time. You're related to Mayor Daley?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Well, all the Dailies are related. I'm not related, you know, I'm not...
I thought you were going to say only by drinking.
No, it was explained to me once that we're like third or fourth cousins removed or something like that.
So you could get a job in politics.
No, please.
I don't know. Get a job in politics.
I don't know. And then Heath Ledger is the Joker is the latest rumor. That Heath Ledger
yes.
is going to play the Joker. Wow.
Yes.
Huh.
I'm not sure they're reinventing Joker again. They should focus on a new villain like they did with Scarecrow in the first one.
Yeah, well, they're running out of villains for Batman here. Let me see.
I know.
And
then you heard the Superman Begins sequel with Singer. He wants to bring General Zod from the Phantom Zone. You know, it's sort of like, what the heck are you doing with these movies?
Yeah.
You know?
Darth Marley's asking, what about Jaina and Bleep?
What? What about
Jaina?
What?
Jaina and Bleep. Those are from the Super Friends. They had nothing to do with Zan and Jaina and the Wonder Twins and their dog. I'm sorry, Darth Mario, was Gleek. Was G-L-E-E-K, not Bleep, is Gleek.
I think he was being cute.
Oh, okay.
He's so cute.
I'm a Super Friends aficionado as well, yes.
So you want to hear the Battlestar Galactica
news? Oh, yes, please.
Okay, some of the lesser news first. Carl Lumley from Alias, the African-American guy, who played Mantis, the superhero for Fox.
Oh, another excellent series.
He is going to play a new character in Episode 7 called Hero. He plays Lieutenant Novacek, who's picked up from the Cylon base ship. He's a prisoner of war, and he knows the dark secret of Adama.
Oh, really?
Adama might have been the one that started the Cylon War, so... This sounds good because Carl Lumley is a great actor, so bringing him on board is going to be absolutely. You didn't know about this, sir?
No, I didn't know about this. I liked Mantis. I think that show should have stayed on a little bit longer. It was a great
story. Well, you know, they killed him. Did I tell you they killed him in the final episode by an invisible dinosaur? They crushed him.
Oh,
and
no.
And they're like, I can't believe this.
Oh.
That's how the superhero ended. The series ended.
It was kind of like a Batman ripoff, kind of, because he was a rich guy. He had like a little underwater cave and all that stuff. It was kind of similar to Bruce Wayne, but he was black.
Right. You know? So I did want to mention that. And then you know about the webisodes, right?
Yeah, they start in August, right?
10 2-minute ones.
Yeah, and then I need to get on Heroes bandwagon. I guess it's a Heroes series. I got to get on the bandwagon of Heroes.
Heroes?
The new series that's going to be on called Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be like probably Surface.
Yeah.
I hear it's good, but this is an NBC show that if it doesn't get the ratings. I read an article today that ABC was trying to give Invasion every single chance it could, but at the end they just felt, we're going to cancel it.
Huh.
So I don't think a lot of these shows, well, they didn't make last season. Night Stalker, Invasion, Threshold. What was the other one? Surface. I mean, they all didn't make.
I told you that when they were all coming out.
Yeah,
I said,
know. You
none
told
of
me
them
that.
Are going to make it.
I know.
None of them. So I should be a network programmer.
Some interesting news.
Galactica?
That is the female that I said that was going to die in episode 3. She's still going to die, even though Ike has said that it's a he that dies in episode 3. And I'm not sure if there's another character trying to pump my source here, or if they're just saying that so that, you know, they don't want people to think it's the she that I mentioned.
Oh.
But definitely the she was shown in the clips for season 3, you know. So.
Really?
She gets it.
They said at the convention too. It's a significant character, huh?
Well, I don't know how they view significant, but she was shown in the clips.
Really?
You know, for season 3. So I figure.
Could it be? I don't want to spread rumors, but Mary McDonnell wasn't at the convention. Could it possibly be her?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
Really?
And as far as these rumors go about Kelly and the chief, I was so glad that Aaron was interviewed very briefly. He said, Kelly and myself and the chief have a baby. His name is Nicholas, and they're still very much alive by episode 11 and 12, so none of them are going to die.
Really? Is his first name Saint Nicholas? No?
Saint
Nicholas?
But there is a motto, a Cylon motto that gets permanently deactivated. There's been some talk on the boards that it's just one version of the motto, and the motto is still very much active. But my understanding is, and my source says this too, that it's the entire motto. It's one of the 12 mottos that gets wiped out. And they're going to do something really daring here. I mean, just eliminating one copy of a motto doesn't add too much suspense here.
Yeah.
But it's one complete motto. And let's just say, and I'm going to reveal this on the websites later, let's just say that this motto has delusions of grandeur, wants to be God, almost like an Ibley, and I hate to use that term, but an Ibley-like character within the Cylon Order, and so the whole motto series has got to be removed completely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Imperious Leader, all right, Koenig, we'll talk to you next
done?
Week. Yes.
What the hell?
That was a fast 30 minutes.
What the hell is going on? wow, time just flies so fast. I hope you had fun.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week if you're available.
Yeah, I'll be available for you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Check's in the mail.
Thanks. And so's the Polish person, too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And thank Koenig for being on. Thank you to Jamie Scully Girl, and thank you everybody else for listening to the program live and also on the podcast. Thank you. And in the morning is Daily Noise, and Friday is Spank Wagon, followed by King Hush. Good night and pleasant tomorrow.
Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.